Jesus is irresistible. How many of you have discovered that Jesus is irresistible? Is there one or two that you've found out nobody loves you like he loves you? Nobody knows more about you than he knows about you. And nobody has forgiven you more than he has. And nobody believes in you more and stands with you more. And you know you. How many of you have something on yourself that you're not totally worked out and all that stuff, but you know the Lord's for you? If he didn't spare his own son, how much more will he give us all things? Amen? So today's message title, we're kind of looking at different passages heading up to our Passion Week. And this is right on the precipice of that. It's when, so I've entitled this, When Jesus Washes Your Feet. Everybody say that with me. With Jesus washes your feet. It's a dynamic and powerful thing that the Lord does. It's kind of a shock in one sense. It's kind of a surprise. And it turns the heads in the whole theology of the disciples even more. Most of the things that Jesus did came to light after he left. Oh, I get it. Oh, I get it. And the beautiful thing about the book of John is this. John was, everybody say John the Beloved. John the Beloved was the youngest of the disciples. And Jesus had made a comment that if he lives till I get back, what is it to you, Peter? And so people thought John was going to live forever, right? Well, before John ever wrote the book of the Gospel of John, he was on the Isle of Patmos, and he was boiled in oil. They couldn't boil him. He was boiled three times in oil. And so apparently the Lord wanted him to be around. And so he was in a prison cell over in the Isle of Patmos, and the only reason that people know about the Isle of Patmos is because John was there. And then he was caught up. He was caught up into heaven. And he was told by the Lord, when he saw the Lord, he said, write this down. Now, everybody, that's the last book of the Bible. He wrote the book of Revelation first, his first book. Then he wrote 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. And then later in life, he wrote the Gospel of John. So, now get this. John has already been to heaven and back. So he brings the insight of what that experience was to the book of John. That's amazing. Are you ready for your first fill in the blank? It's the first thing off the top. Ready? Go. Jesus is not your bellboy. He is your heart surgeon. Jesus is not your bellboy. He is your heart surgeon. A bellboy is a person who carries luggage in a hotel lobby, and you ring a little bell, ding, 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 and the bellboy comes out. Probably called something else now, but he comes out because when you ring the bell, the boy comes. And people treat Jesus like he's their boy, and they'll be so sad because I rang the bell and he didn't do nothing for me. And they'll be on their hospital bed. And Jesus is there with his stethoscope. And he's listening to their heart and says, you have a broken heart. And they're saying, but change my sheets. I want you to change my sheets. So people don't realize that Jesus is not your bellboy. Does he carry bags? Oh, yes. He said, come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you think about it, Jesus does most of the heavy lifting in the person of a life of faith anyway. Are you there? But the Bible says when the righteous cry out, the Lord hears them and he delivers them from all their troubles. And he says he's near to the brokenhearted and he saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from them all. How many of you have been around people that are mad for years because they rang the bell and they didn't realize, I'm here to change your life. I'm here to change your heart. I'm here to work deeply within you. How many of you have found that when the Lord works deeply within you, the circumstance around you pretty much changes? Why? Because you change. Isn't that right? How many of you need to change? How many have done the bellboy thing? Cried out and been mad at God, keep ringing the ding a ding a ding, and yet in the midst of all that, because look, sometimes when you cry out, he'll change things instantly. He'll just change things. But I've learned from the Lord after walking with him just a short time, 43 years or so, just a short little time, I found out that he really is into changing me. His investment is changing me. You know why? Why is he changing us? Because we're going to populate heaven. The believers who've walked with Jesus are going to populate heaven. And he's wanting us to look like what he is doing there. And this particular passage that we're going to be looking at is one of those that sets us up for the spirit of how the Lord wants to function in our life and what he wants to do in our life. On the back of your notes, I have the whole passage there. It says this, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world," everybody say, he loved them to the end. "And during supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper." Now look at this. This is that part where John has already been to heaven and seen the reality of who Jesus is. So he says here, Jesus, knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going back to God. Got it? So Jesus knows what's up. It says, "Then he rose," he said, "then he laid aside his outer garments, taking a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured the water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, do not wash my feet.' And Jesus answered, 'What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward, you will understand.' Peter said to him, 'You will never wash my feet.'" Have you ever run into these kind of people? You know, Jesus, he was his number one guy, and he was always like this. Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." So then Simon Peter says, "Well, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said, "The one who has bathed does not need to wash except his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean." Then he says, "But not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." And when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I'm telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." So this is the second fill in the blank. It's real simple. Jesus knows who he is. Jesus knows who he is. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands and that he had come from God and going back to God. So I just want to take a moment and talk about Jesus for a minute here. When Jesus was living his life on the earth, there were a few things that set him apart. One of those was the fact that he spoke with authority. Jesus would actually say, "You have heard it said, thou shalt not murder." And then he puts this, "But I say to you that if you have anger in your heart, you have the spirit," or that you've committed the murder in your heart. So Jesus is now taking it. He has this powerful authority. He says, "You've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you lust after a woman with your eyes, you've committed adultery in your heart." So Jesus not only takes the Ten Commandments, he's got them out here. He's like, takes them deeper. He takes them and causes them to go deeper into the impact of the heart of the man. Nobody ever did that before. This sets Jesus apart. Would you agree? This sets Jesus apart. You know another thing that Jesus did that he's passed on, he helps people, anoints people to do it, but nobody did it before him, because in the Old Testament, you've heard of Satan just a few times in the book of Job, and he messed with David a little bit. He was around a little bit. But then Jesus comes on the scene, and demons coming out of the woodwork. "Why are you come to torment us before our time?" And Jesus said these words. He says, "If the finger of God cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Jesus was God because he had authority over the devil. Hello? Is he good? The other thing that set him apart was this, that Jesus had this relationship with Father God, and he said, "The Father and I are one." And that really messed with a lot of Pharisees. That just really ate their lunch. They couldn't stand that. Who's this guy that says he... And Jesus went even further than that, and he says, "I don't do anything except I see the Father do it, and I don't say anything except I hear the Father say it." So Jesus is set apart in the reality that he and the Father are one. The Bible says that it's different. You know, Hebrews chapter 1 says that God in various times and various ways spoke to the prophets, you know, spoke in the times past to the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Spoken to us by his Son. So Jesus comes with a message through from the Father to us, and it says he's the perfect expression. He's the perfect expression of the Father. If you want to see Father God, look at Jesus. If you want to see him, look at Jesus. Nobody else could do that. There's not another religion in the world that can do that. Elbow somebody and said, "That's Jesus. That's Jesus." The fourth thing that Jesus does that nobody else does is he forgives sins. Nobody's been able to do that. You can say, "I forgive you," but to authoritatively forgive sins. There was that paralytic, and Jesus said, "What's it easier?" He saw the Pharisees there. He saw the religious people. He said, "What is it easier for me to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise up and take your bed and walk?" Now, of course, it's easier to say your sins are forgiven because you can't see that. So he said, "To show you that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, take up your bed and walk." That really scrambled their eggs. So Jesus has authority to forgive sins. The other thing that he did was really unique to him is that he received worship as God. Jesus received worship as God. We've been worshiping him today, but when he was there in person, even last week, as Pastor Lori shared, how that lady came in and poured out the spikenard on his feet and wiped his feet. And there's a spirit of worship and adoration before Jesus. And he received it. Jesus is God. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord" with me. There's nobody like Jesus. There never will be anybody like Jesus. As we step into the next section, I just want us to lift our heads to the Lord for a moment and let's praise him. And let me pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, that you have entered this realm to bring us to another, that you've entered our realm in the flesh to bring us to another realm for eternity in the spirit. And we rejoice in you that we are made alive here now by who you are. Hallelujah. 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 Even way back in the Old Testament, there's this experience that Daniel had, and Ezekiel had, and Isaiah had. And God was giving these people, just like John had gone up into heaven and seen this. There are people today that are having near-death experiences, and they see some of the same things. They experience some of the same things. People today. Daniel said in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, and I guess apparently God would give him these night visions. He said, I saw in the night visions with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man. And by the way, every time Jesus, you know, there was this little argument that went on a few years ago about, well, he's the son of God. Why does he call himself the son of man? Why did he call himself a man? He's the son of God. Why does he call himself? He's the son of God. Yes, he's the son of God. But Jesus referred to himself as, everybody say, the son of man. This is why. This is the reason. This is why. This verse is the reason why. He says, with the clouds of heaven, I saw one coming. It was like the Son of Man, and he came before the Ancient of Days, and he was presented to him. And it says, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples and nations and languages would serve him. And his kingdom, his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and it won't pass away. And his kingdom is one that shall never be destroyed. And Jesus is saying, I'm the Son of Man. I'm the Son of Man because I came from the Father, and I'm going back to the Father. And I'm going to receive a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And forever and ever and ever and ever, my dominion will be an everlasting dominion. This is who your Jesus is. The very next part, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from the world, having loved his own, I wanted to go back to the first verse, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Let's look at point number 3. Jesus knows who you are and what you are walking through. It says he poured the water in the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Everybody say disciples' feet. And wiped them with a towel. He had this towel and he took out his outer garment, put it aside, and he put this towel there. And everybody was, it was really messing with everybody. It was just messing with them. Because he's the man. But say Jesus is the man. And the man who's the big leader of all the people, who's doing the miracles and who's doing this, and Jesus knows that he's going to be crucified, and he knows that he's set to go to the crucifixion, and he's in there, and it's somewhere during the dinner, before they get going, he pulls out the towel. He puts water in a bowl, and he does a thing in that culture that is reserved for the servant of the house. And the servant of the house, when you come to somebody's house, they wash your feet because everybody wore sandals and the roads were dusty. Are you there? And who knows, the horse could have pooped out front and you don't want to spread that around the house, right? So Jesus comes and takes each of the disciples' feet and he washes their feet. Jesus washed Judas's feet. Satan's traitor is right there. And Jesus knows what he's about to do. Jesus Christ knows that he is going to betray him with a kiss for 30 pieces of silver. And Jesus takes his foot and washes it. Part of the dynamic that happens when you show up and your feet are washed, you're refreshed for the next thing that you're going to do. I want to go ahead and say, when you wash, Jesus' attention to washing feet shows that God gives attention to the small things in your life. He cares about the little things that nobody else sees. Here's the other thing. The The Lord really knows what you've been walking in. He gets to Peter. Peter, what's all the brouhaha? Peter is going to deny Jesus three times before the rooster crows in the morning. And there's Jesus. It says, he loved them to the end. He loved them where they were. He loved them at the point they had developed. He loved them. He loves you where you are. He loves you to the point that you have developed. He loves you to the end. Whether you betray him or whether you deny him, he loves you to the end. He goes and washes all the feet of all the disciples, and every single one of them are going to run like rabbits from the first bark of a dog. Everybody's gone when they show up, when the centurion soldiers show up, and they take Jesus, they're gone. And he washes their feet. He washes their feet. He washes their feet. He knows where you've been. You know, Jesus said, in this world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. What does tribulation mean? It means pressure. Pressure. Everybody say pressure. It means that pressure comes on your life. Pressure that'll wring you out. Pressure that'll pull you down. And Jesus is aware that some of you, even today, have been walking under pressure. And he wants to do something in and for you that you can't do. Are you receiving this today? Are you seeing how good and irresistible Jesus really is? Are you seeing that he's not the bellboy, but he's the heart surgeon? Are you allowing the Lord to get inside of you and respond to him today? Because he is more than you'll ever, ever know, ever want. He's more than, he's better than, there's no words to describe. You can get a bunch of words and go ahead and try, but you're going to run out of words because he's bigger than all of that. He'll fill your heart up with such love and such power and passion, and he'll come to you at your weakest, worst moments in life and wash your feet. He will help you when you're stressed out and gone, and when you've done stuff, when you've pushed away from him and run the other way, Jesus will come and wash your feet. Jesus is the one. When you're stressed out with people, how many of you have done that before? My brother raised his hand back there. Yes, sir. Well, listen, I want to tell you today, Jesus wants to meet you and refresh something about by his spirit in your life. Here's the deal. He knows what you have been walking in. He knows what you have been walking through. And Jesus comes. And here's the crazy thing. He is about to be crucified, and he's loving them and washing their feet. He's loving them and serving them and blessing them. And he sits down and he says, now, I've set an example for you. Anybody here love the Lord just a little bit more since we've been talking about it? Jesus is so amazing, so amazing. He does this kind of thing. How many have made some real bad missteps? I'm talking a couple of years. I'm here to prophesy to you today that Jesus will wash it all away. He will wash it all away. I have a friend. He was a precious friend. He passed away. I was thinking of using his name, but I'll just call him Precious Friend. Precious Friend was, as a boy, he was put into a boarding school. And I found out later that at the boarding school, he had been sexually violated and he had been beaten. And precious friend grew up, left there, and he got married. And then somehow along the way, he developed a mistress on the side. And then, as he told me the story, his wife and the mistress got together and left him. This is a few years of pain, don't you think? And so then he tries out the other side, and he doesn't like it. But he's made sexual failure in his life a pattern, and he's now wretched out. And he comes to the Lord. He comes to the Lord, and there is a prison ministry that he participates in, and he goes with a pastor to the prison ministry, and he's sharing with the pastor, and finally he gets up the confidence, and he says to the pastor, I've had some sexual failure with both, you know, when people of the same sex or people with the opposite sex, and the pastor shunned him, and he was felt a greater shame than he'd ever felt in his life. Now, at this time, Heather and I are what they call home group leaders at the church we were at. And we had a little group, about, I don't know, it went from 12 to 60, so I don't know where we were in that time. But this fella, we've gone to church that morning, he says, tonight we don't meet at church, we have our home groups. Find the area code that you're in, find the person close to you, and make a phone call, and join into that group. And I get this phone call from my precious friend. And he is wild. This guy can't stop talking. He's talking all the time. He's a crazy, crazy guy. But he's so needy and so deeply needy. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? And so one day, he was over at my house, and my wife and I managed an apartment building, and there was another person in our church that was in our home group. And so we were visiting with this person down in his apartment, and he shared his story with me, and all of the shame and all the rejection and all of the failure. And Jesus spoke to me. Jesus spoke to me. He said, Roger, wash his feet. So I asked my other friend, you got a towel or anything in here? A little bowl? My friend went to the little kitchenette there, came out. I had my precious friend sit down. I got the water. I poured it on his feet. And Jesus began to work. Jesus began to take away years and years of shame. Years and years, all of the perversion, all of the sexual failure, all of the shame, all the rejection from the former pastor. All that was washed away because Jesus, what happens when Jesus washes your feet? You see, it wasn't my idea. It wasn't me saying, let me think, if I could come up with something good, oh, I'll do what Jesus did. No, it was awkward. It was not something I would have thought of. But Jesus knew what to do. And so he says, Roger, would you wash your friend's feet? And then the Holy Spirit came. Maybe Jesus was there. And as we washed his feet, he began to cry. He began to wail. He let the grief of his life come out. He was saved. He knew he was going to heaven. But he had walked through a lot of stuff that had stuck to him and he couldn't get rid of it. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Isn't he the best? Because Jesus says, hey, son, wash my other son's feet. I'm going to do something in his life that you're not going to ever doubt how good I am to people. Do you know, every time I saw him, every time we would talk, he ended up with a ministry where he would send people Bibles and put their names on and pray and get a scripture, and he'd send people Bibles. He had a worldwide track ministry that he sent tracts to people, prisons all over the world. And every time we'd connect, he'd break up a little bit. And he'd say, I remember when you washed my feet, and I'd say, that was a long time ago. But it was so special. It was so transforming. It was so impacting and so powerful because Jesus met him there and washed away all of his shame. All his shame. Gone. That's who Jesus is. Now, I don't know where you've been walking, but I'm here to tell you that Jesus will wash your feet. If you know him, now you may not know him. If you're here and you don't know him, the first thing is you need the bath. You need the fountain of forgiveness to pour forth into your soul. And Jesus will forgive all of your sins if you confess his lordship and acknowledge that God has raised him from the dead. You will come to know Jesus Christ, and he will have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then we want to continue on growing and developing and knowing him and walking with him. But the Lord... How many of you have had moments where the Lord's refreshing has come upon you and maybe it touched your feet or it touched your whole life? He just refreshes and does. Is Jesus good? He does this stuff, doesn't he? Let's go look at our, I think, did we do number three, right? We did that. Let's do number four. Love one another and serve one another. Love one another and serve one another. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you. Truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I have a new thing that I'm doing. I was talking to Terry about it. For some reason, I've become very addicted to memorizing Bible scriptures. It's a great addiction. It's a wonderful addiction. It's a wonderful thing. I've read that if you want to take something and put it in your spirit, put it in your long-term memory. How many of you got lots of facts and stuff up in your head that are pretty meaningless? How many? Jesus said, my word will never pass away. He says, heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. If you make the investment of putting the word of God in your heart, things will change inside of your life. And you'll re-script your whole belief system and change who you are. So I've been thinking about that. By the way, I have a paper here. When Jesus said, wash one another's feet, it was the second one another phrase in the Bible. The first one is in Mark, and it says, be at peace with one another. But John actually has one, two, three, four, five. He has five times John in the Gospel of John says, love one another. In the also another six times in 1 John, he says, love one another six times. So John is the guy that experienced that. Now, there's others that say this. Paul has a lot of them. He says, be devoted to one another, brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves, live in harmony with one another, love one another, stop passing judgment on one another, accept one another just as Christ accepted you, instruct one another, greet one another with a holy kiss. When you come together, when you eat, wait for each other. Have equal concern for each other. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Greet one another with a holy kiss. There's a lot of greeting one another. That's five times in there. Serve one another in love. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, you'll be destroying by one another. Let each one not become conceited, provoking, or envying each other. carrying each other's burdens. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgiving one another. Remember that one? Forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Submit to one another out of the reverence of the Lord. In humility, consider others better than yourselves. There's a lot of one another's in here. And it started when Jesus said, wash one another's feet. Wash one another's feet. I'm going to talk to you just for a minute about exhorting one another. I didn't put it up here, but it's on your notes. It's Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 14, and then we're going to, in fact, those who are going to serve communion, just go ahead and prepare. Would you go ahead, those people, take off, and I'll finish with this. How many of you are aware that we're living in the last days? Now, of course, technically the last days is when Jesus left and before he comes again, but we're kind of toward the end of it, okay? We're toward the end of the last days, and these are important things to hear. So listen to this. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Take care, brothers. Take care, brothers. Lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. It's the brothers he's talking to. He's not talking about the world. He's talking, brothers, take care. Take care, lest there be in you an evil and unbelieving heart leading you to fall away. Take care. Then he says, exhort one another every day. Exhort means to stir up to good works. Exhort one another every day, he says, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. How many of you know sin's really deceitful? You can be suddenly down the road and full of something and all worked up and justified in your own mind and hard as it gets. He says, because we have come to share in Christ. Now listen to this. We've come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. Firm to the end. How many of you want to lock on to Jesus and reaffirm and reaffirm and reaffirm your commitment and walk with him and stir others up? If you're not stirring somebody else up, let me just go ahead and it'll help you. Are you there? Now, I know this is a little subdued kind of a group today. Everybody's kind of laid back. I think it's spring. Maybe it's they're looking for the flowers or something. I want to see flowers, you know. And you're going to have that. But right now, we're right here. And I have prepared this. And I'm standing here with y'all. And I need you just to be here with me just another couple of seconds. Can we do that? Because you don't know the moment you take communion, the Lord might say, the shackle that you've been wrestling with is gone now. That tormenting thought in your mind, I've just defeated it. That sickness that you've been feeling, you're better now. This is who Jesus is. This is who he is. He's the good guy. He's the one coming back on the white horse. He's the one coming to rescue us. So here's what I'd like to do. Let's go ahead and begin by taking the portion, the bread, Jesus said. Right after he washed their feet, he had this time. And people aren't sure exactly when it was because they know that, listen, everybody hold it until you're all served. Let's all hold it together. Now, if you're visiting with us and you're kind of new to this kind of thing, this is how simple it is. You might say, well, I've never been religious. Well, praise the Lord, because I hate religious. I'm not religious. Unless it's good religion. The Bible says good religion is taking care of widows and orphans and keeping unspotted from the world. That's good religion. But to be a religious person that's judgmental, I don't like that. That's the Pharisees. We're not into that. We're into supporting one another in the tough times. We're into standing with you when life is falling apart. We're here to bring, to help the whole flow of what God's love and power and kingdom will bring into your life when things are really, really painful. I'm just thinking, you know, that little thought that I started with, it says, the Lord's not your bellboy, he's your heart surgeon. That came this morning, and it was so intriguing to me. I said, Lord, how many times have I treated you like I dinged the bell and wanted you to come and change everything around me? And all the time you're saying, Roger, I want to change you. And how he does that is by partaking of who he is. We partake of the person of Jesus. Do you have something that's been too big in your life to handle? It's not too big for Jesus. In these moments, I try to be as sensitive as I can to the Holy Spirit to minister to people's hearts. And some of you are facing something that's bigger than you and you're worn out by it. And I want to say that that's going to stop. Because the Lord is going to refresh you and you're going to rise up in a new strength today. A burden is rolling off of somebody. Just because of the hearing the goodness of the Lord. It's you, isn't it? You feel a change coming in your heart? Let's lift this together. Let's praise him together. Let's just say, Jesus, let's pretend just for a moment you're sitting at the very table with the disciples. And the Lord knows. The Lord knows that some of you are going to struggle the moment you walk out the door. But he's still here to wash your feet. He knows that you'll wrestle with the idea of walking with him or not. But the Lord is here to give you strength for this moment so that you can see who he is and his true love for you. I don't know who you are, but somebody's grandmom has been praying for you for years. And if they found out you were in church, they would be doing handstands. They would be thrilled out of their mind. Let's praise him just for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're refreshing our hearts today. And we're going to partake. Some of you said, I'm stuck. I'm stuck. I've been traveling of this path so long. I'm stuck. I can't stop walking this way. And the Lord says, oh, yes, you can. I'm going to give you the power right now. Because Jesus' body was raised from the dead. And he says, if you receive me right now, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead will come into your mortal flesh and cause you to have power above things that you didn't have the ability before this moment. Let's praise him. This moment. Right now, this moment. This is an empowering moment. This is not just cracking your teeth down on a cracker. This is the power of God coming in to change your heart. Jesus is the heart surgeon. Let it go. Just let it go. I don't know what it is, but right now, let it go. Let it go. Right now, acknowledge before the Lord, before you take this, I'm letting it go so I can receive you. You know what I'm saying to you. Let it go. The Holy Spirit is prompting me, saying, let it go. My son, my child, my daughter, let it go. Let it go right now. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let go. Let the anguish out of your heart. Let him have it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go now. Let it go. There you go. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. The Lord's going to comfort you. He's going to come along. He's going to put his arm around you. He's going to walk with you. He's going to cherish you. You're going to feel things that you've never felt before because Jesus is entering your situation. He's going to stand with you. The doubt's going to begin to leave. The sense of unbelief you were tested with is going to leave. You're going to start trusting in the Lord. Let's praise him. Somebody help me out here. Praise the Lord. Why run off when the Holy Spirit's working? Why shut down when the Holy Spirit's saying, I want to minister right here. I want to help somebody. I want to give strength where there was no strength. Where you were weak in yourself, I'm going to give you strength to overcome, and you will be able to do what you couldn't do before. Praise the Lord. Whew. Hallelujah. Now to that. Now to the body of Jesus, the covenant that says, you make it because I made it. Let's partake together. Let's receive it. Say, I receive you, Lord. I receive you, Lord. I receive you, Lord. Just as soon as you get a chance, start praising Him. Hallelujah. Push the cracker to one side. Just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was a season when you had demons all around you. But now there's angels all around you. It's all different now, isn't it? It's different now. It's different now. Listen, hold this till all are served. Praise you, Jesus. You're getting stronger. Stronger. Thank you, Jesus. And more revelations coming, okay? More revelation to delight your heart. Praise you, Lord. Let's lift our heads. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The thing that you felt was an iron door locked in front of you is going to swing open. There's some of you, there's relationships just been shut tight. Jesus says, watch me. Watch me. Put it all in me. Quit trying to push it. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. I feel like the Lord is saying, let go and give it to me. Let's praise Him again. We're going to partake. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, the Bible says this wonderful, wonderful thing. It says that He makes beauty out of ashes. This amazing, amazing, amazing thing. People get burned, totally just burned out. Whatever trying circumstance comes, burned out. You just feel like a lump of ashes on the ground, just worthless, like I got nothing going on. And Jesus says, watch this. And I don't know how He does it, but Jesus takes a pile of ashes, and by His miracle creative power, He makes something so beautiful that everybody stops and goes, I remember that. That was worthless. That person was no good. They hurt everybody around them. They were so full of vitriol and hate. And now what happened? They're the kindest person I've ever met. What's going on here? You're watching Jesus at work. He takes old things and gets rid of them, puts new things in. Let's lift the cup. This is to receive forgiveness, everybody. It's to do two things, to receive forgiveness and give forgiveness. It's that powerful. Jesus said, forgive others the way I've forgiven you. If you don't forgive others the way I've forgiven you, I won't even forgive you. So receive the forgiveness and just now become a channel of the forgiveness and let forgiveness flow to everybody. And I'm telling you, you can do it. Some people say, I can't forgive that person. It hurts so bad. I said, just let Jesus do it. Let Jesus pour His love through you. Let His powerful blood course through you and let Him do the forgiving. And next thing you know, you're free and you don't have the same feelings of bitterness anymore because of the blood. It's the blood. It's the blood. The blood does it. The blood is the payment. The blood is the ransom money for the redemption that He paid for you. He says, I'm going to go rescue you from your sins. I'm going to pay my blood and buy you back to me. And that's what this is about. Jesus is purchasing you. He's purchasing you and saying, you're mine now. I'll take care of you. I got enough authority in the universe to take care of your little world. Let's lift it up and praise Him for it. Thank you, Lord. I receive the blood. I receive forgiveness of my sins. I receive the DNA of Jesus. I receive the life of Jesus to make me whole inside, and I receive the power to forgive. And I choose to be a forgiving person. I receive salvation. I receive deliverance. I receive freedom. Jesus, rescue me. Let's partake of it now. Hallelujah. Oh, let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. They're going to come down the middle, and on the sides here, go ahead and drop your cup. Pass them to the middle aisle or somewhere there. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ain't nobody do me like Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now may the precious presence of Jesus Christ rest upon you. May the grace that He gives empower you to live beyond where you've been before. And may you become anointed by His anointing to wash feet and to bless and to serve one another. Amen. Lord, we love you. Let's just tell Him we love Him. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for your abiding presence in our life. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Amen. If you opened your heart for the first time and you said, I want to follow you, Jesus, we would love for you to come down and let us pray with you and seal the deal. If you have other areas of your life where you just say, I want to agree with someone about this thing, come on down. We also have fellowship in the other room, so you're dismissed. Love on each other.